podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm joined by Stephen Howson. How are you doing, Stephen?
Do you want the truth or do you want me to just say I'm all right?
Just say you're all right.
I'm all right.
Good lad. How are you doing, Jay?
No, I'm concerned. Go on, give us the truth.
I had my booster jab yesterday and I feel like death.
Oh, which one did you have?
A Pfizer.
Yeah, what an absolute lad.
Right.
Pfizer's good, isn't it?
Did you check?
My first two were Vauxhall AstraZeneca.
Were they?
And then when I went to get my Pfizer, they were like, you shouldn't have had that one. You're too young for that. You could have died.
All right.
So I'm standing there. I was there for
great bedside manner.
Yeah. 45 minutes I was there waiting. Some guy bowls in, no mask, straight off the bat. I'm thinking, knob. You're here for vaccine places. Like, just basics, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right. Steam's in the place and he's like, what, go away next month? How fast can I have both jabs?
Just both simultaneously in his arm, killing on the
what
spot.
What area was your jabbing like? Not on your arm, I mean, what town?
We're not giving that away. We don't disclose those things. OPSEC. So he steams in and he's like, how fast can I get both jabs? And the nurse behind the counter's like, what are you on about? And he goes, well, what, go away next month? And he's like, she's like, it's 12 week. He went, can we shave a bit of time off that? And she was like, well, some people it's 8. And she's like, can we shave a bit more time off that? And she was like, I think a doctor, maybe. I know. And he was like, well, what if I made it worth your while? And she went, are you trying to bribe me to have both jabs? And he went, to be fair to him, he went, yeah. And I was like, we've just gone, there you go, you're on notch one now, because I was thinking you're an absolute dick.
Well, what's he going to do, shagger? Or give her cash?
I don't know. I'm assuming cash, looking at the way you're dressed.
I've got a center with your name on it. If you give me that injection right now.
So then I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, what an absolute helmet this dude is. So then you go into the waiting room.
Can we shave a bit of time off that?
Whatever, make it worth.
You go into the waiting room, and then it's literally roped off, and there's a tape of X on the floor. In case you was wondering, these arrows painted on the floor, right to the X's. So I went and stood on an X, not being an idiot and all. He walks right past that. So there's tables side by side, right? And it's quite obvious. There's like a little bit of VIP tape almost, little what's-its. He walks in between the two desks. So the nurses are sat there, and there's an X on the floor on this side, and all the paperwork reads this way.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious where you stand, isn't it? I thought.
Yeah.
He's walked right in between. So he's like a square. Two nurses facing this way, two facing out. So they're like, back to back. They have all their equipment in the middle. You stand down, we come around and jab you, right? Pretty idiot-proof. But we found a new level of idiot. So he's come in and he's gone right into the middle and then he's like, what's going on here kind of thing? And she's like, no, you need to stand on the other side. Then he walks like all the way around to this side over here and I'm just thinking, is this going to wind up?
What was
no one's this thick.
So obviously, his mates have booked a lad's holiday. He hasn't had any jabs. And he's like, I've got 4 weeks. I've paid my deposit. I need AstraZeneca in to fuck immediately. Yeah.
So then he literally, like, they ended up having to, like, the guy, he gave his date of birth, right? His date of birth is 87, so he's, what, he's 35.
Yeah, yeah.
They've literally had to walk him back round and been like, yeah, stand there, mate. And I was just thinking, he gets a vote.
Yeah, he does.
Is he in the comments yet?
And it's just, someone said, I think he's on to me. Notch said, he's on to me.
I thought I saw you at the thing last night.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But yeah, very fun. So now you're not feeling great, though?
No, I woke up feel like deaf.
Did you?
Do you know what? I felt dumb all day.
Really?
Yeah, proper, like, you ask me a question and I go, what?
Not sure.
Just foggy and just rough all day.
How are you feeling, Jay?
Yeah, I've had a little bit of a cold and it is a cold. I've done all the tests. It's just a good old-fashioned bit of a snivel.
They're allowed still.
Yeah, they're still, they're not as popular as they used to be, but they're still going. It's still a thing.
You can still find them.
Yeah. So I'm a bit bunged up, but I'm all right, yeah. I'm glad. I feel better now listening to someone else's misery.
That's good, isn't it?
Well, it perks you up a bit, doesn't it? When you speak to someone who's a lot, feels worse than
you. Some people like being pulled up by the good news of other people. No. You like comparing yourself to the shit news of other people.
So, yeah. Northern trait, that.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. He's got it bad, Mint.
Speaking of people who've got it bad, Man United.
Nice segue there.
Love it.
What I expect from you.
It's the January transfer window, Jay and Steve, in case you didn't know. When they said you're feeling thick, but I think you knew that, Steve.
Do you know what? I not consciously, because I don't think we're doing it.
Well, you say that, but today there's been...
You're always ruining things.
I wouldn't necessarily say an explosion, but certainly a flurry of news.
Mm.
Dennis Zakaria being the main one. We saw multiple sort of high level, Patrick Berger. We saw, who else was it that was reporting on him? Christian Falk. Everyone saying that United are interested. We're interested in Zakaria. We can get him for about 6 or 7 million euros. He's free at the end of the season. he's obviously a defensive midfielder, can play centre back as well, you know, can play as a box to box player. What 6 to 7 million?
That's asking? Not 6 to 7 either.
Six to seven.
The Yorkshire.
For that,
6 to 7.
Take a risk.
I mean, there is that element of, yeah, take a risk, but there's also an element of, don't we need to buy players that we know are first team players?
Yes.
Like, we've done all this with the Palestrias and the Diallos of this world, and I understand that they were more than 7 million.
I'm not even sure he's better than McTominay.
And it's like, are we not just buying, again, another sideways step, and it's just another body into this squad that is already oversubscribed? We've got too many players, haven't we? And now we're going to add another one in. Which, I get it, because any signing, you know, you think, okay, we've got a new player, and he might be great. So there are 6, 7 million.
Like Alan Smith.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Scored a lovely goal.
And at least Alan Smith, it pissed off all the Leeds fans.
Bit naff, though, wasn't it?
You'll piss off all the Mönchengladbach fans, Joe. Does that not bring you any joy at all?
On Mönchengladbach, he ain't playing for them.
Yeah, and I'd be amazed if the guy that's not playing for Mönchengladbach.
Is it contract reasons? If it's contract reasons, fair play. But is he just not being picked? Then why are we buying cast-offs?
Well, he has been picked a lot over the last few years. He has been a big player for them.
How old is he?
25. Tried to do as much research as I can today.
I think what happens is we
today.
Get into this thing where we just want a signing. Yeah, we want signings, right. And it's like, we need signings. And then all that happens is, like, come April or whatever, when we're sat in ninth, and he's not had a game, people go, why is he not playing? He needs to play. He's better than everyone.
Yeah, but you've seen him in training.
Ralph's seen him in training. Oh my God, this guy's another Bebe.
Bebe.
Yeah.
Simpler times.
It was him
getting game now, wasn't it? I don't know. Listen, it'd be one of them. If he comes, I'll get behind him, but he's not top of my shopping list.
But for that price, though,
is why it is it that the price? Risk?
Because he's leaving at the end of the season.
Pogba's
to be fair,
the season. Yeah. You can get him for 6 million.
You can get,
but he's not poor Pogba.
Was it the kid that Evan got, Demarai Gray, when he had 1.5 million? You can get a bargain still. Yeah. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that you get him and you're like...
Oh. Not United can't, though. So he's going for 6 million. They went, hang on, it's United on the phone. It's on 25.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
But they're thinking 6 million or nothing, aren't they?
Yeah.
But and also, why for a 25-year-old, if he was 18, I'd be like, all right, yeah, but 25, it's like... I think he should be doing more.
Yeah, maybe, but I just think it's...
I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about him as well, so I'm not going to sit and pretend I've watched him, you know, week in, week out in the Bundesliga. I haven't... So, people who watch that division can tell us more about him. It's just not one that I'd had my eye on at all. So now I'm a bit like, is that going to solve our problems? I don't think so.
It feels like a plaster rather than a fix.
Yeah. We need someone, for me, who can come in.
Putting a plaster on that, but I've got cancer.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look through then. So, signing him, not keen. I don't think it'll happen. A mixture of the two.
Surprised just, if he comes and...
It feels like it'd be one of those where you go, we signed him and no one else. You go, we signed him. Signed someone. We're about to sign this kid.
Yeah. Yeah. What's he called again?
I wrote it down somewhere.
All right then, is that better or worse than not signing anyone? Because to me, not signing anyone is stupid.
It's pretty bad.
It's like probably the worst case scenario. I mean, obviously the worst case scenario would be signing him, but for 100 million, spending summer budget. Yeah. Probably. We're probably still paying his wages somewhere or another.
Is Pereira still on our books?
Yes, he is actually. So surely not signing anyone is the worst case scenario here. Is it not worth taking a risk?
The worst case scenario for me would be, and I'm going to get pelters for saying this, but if we let someone like Pogba go and didn't buy anyone else in this January window, that would be the worst case scenario in January for me.
Could also happen.
Yeah, because he might go, quick, we can get 10 million for him, which is better than now, off he goes, and we don't bring anyone in, that just weakens the squad in my opinion. So that would be the worst case scenario. So, Joe, as you know, today many small businesses and many small business owners are busier than ever. Time spent searching for candidates, interviewing candidates, it can take you away from other things you need to do. Mm. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to get the candidates worth interviewing faster. And this is the bit that I love. It's free.
Free?
Yes, it's absolutely free. So you can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network with, guess how many people are in this?
Couple dozen, easy.
Close.
Yeah?
30 million, over 30 million people in the UK.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So you can focus on the candidates with the skills and experience you need, use screening questions to get your role in front of only the most qualified people, and then, and again, this is right on my street, simple tools on LinkedIn Jobs to quickly filter and prioritise who you'd like to interview.
Perfect.
It's perfect. What could you ask for? Exactly. So you need to go into LinkedIn Jobs to help find the candidates worth interviewing faster. So click on the link. It's linkedin.com/devils. Again, that's LinkedIn Facebook.com/devils to post a free job. Terms and conditions apply. Back to the podcast.
So you don't think not signing anyone is, you think that's an option that they might go for that, you know, could work? Or do you
what,
think
not signing anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do. I think that there's already mumblings, and you'll know more about this than I do, Steve, that United's next signing is going to be a big one. Not a January signing, but a bigger one.
Are you ready for this? It's my understanding, you know what that means?
Yes, I do.
It is my understanding United aren't signing anyone unless a long-term young target becomes available.
Right. Does his name ride fun, with Ruud Schmellingham?
Ride or rhyme?
Rhyme even. Ride. Does it rhyme with Ruud Schmellingham?
Does his name rhyme with Schmecklen Spice? For any chance?
No.
Does it not? Oh, so is it? Does it rhyme with I forgot what I said.
So United won't do Bellingham then?
Oh, yeah, United definitely won't do Bellingham.
But that's not going to happen now, is it?
Exactly. So I'm not sure. However, I've seen your notes over the shoulder there,
yeah.
And I don't know if one of the names that you might bring up might actually fit that target.
Interesting.
Ew. I wish I could see your notes because I can't see anything.
Go on then. Do you want to bring it up then?
I don't know what the whole context of everything is.
You don't need context.
Like this.
Apparently, United are keen on Brighton's ex-Chelsea star. Why is that a bro of Chelsea, isn't it?
Ex-Chelsea star, mate.
Tariq Lamptey, as Ralph Rangnick targets a new right-back who's an upgrade on Juan Bissaka and Diogo Dalot, but their 30 million valuation is 10 mil short. If it's a choice between Tariq Lamptey, who's obviously Premier League proven, I'd just say, fuck it, bring Ethan Laird back, see what he's got.
Do you think United want Lamptey then?
I have no idea if that's true, but it is my understanding, Joe, that if United can get a young target that's been a long-term target.
Yeah.
Now, I've played that back in my mind so many times since I heard it that I'm thinking, does that mean that we've got youth targets? Let's say it's Bellingham. Let's say it is Lamptey. I don't know if it is. But let's say we've had those targets that we're like, we don't give a fuck who's manager. If these lads become available, there are must signings. Mm. So I don't know if that's a Murta Fletcher thing, whether that's something that Ralph Ragnick's approved. But the way that feels to me is that we've got people that we're going to try and buy on some list somewhere, irregardless of who's manager.
Mm.
And I wonder if that's the case. And is it a case of like, Ralph's here for 6 months and then he's doing his consultancy thing, he ain't fucking buying anyone.
It kind of makes sense to me that Ragnick doesn't buy anyone. Because I always feel like when you bring in someone who, choose my words carefully here, it's almost like he's not a massive name as a manager.
Mm.
Like Solskjaer, when he came in December, and you can say to him, come and take the United job. The only caveat is you're not going to get any January signings. Right, okay, nobody's. I was sat in Mould a minute ago, not an issue. You say to Ralph Ragnick, come in United in, you know, whenever it was, November, whatever, but you're not going to get any January signings. Or you can stay at Lokomotiv Moscow and, you know, do whatever you're doing there. And also, when you come here, we'll give you another 2 years as a consultant. The only caveat is you don't get any January signings. He's going to be all right with that.
Mm.
He might not, you know, he might be a little bit sort of in his mind thinking that's not great, but he'll take the job. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't take him. It's not like Conte comes in. I think if Conte comes in, he goes, well, I need a midfielder or I need some signings in January.
He's already smashing plates, isn't he, Conte?
Yeah. He's like, yeah. He's already started telling people they're not good enough. So
I'm not replacing him, though.
What? Yeah. What? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is the case. And as a fan, it is frustrating because we're all looking at Mayland, for me, our midfield, and going, we need a DM. Yeah. We've needed one for 4 years. We need one. You know what I mean? Nemanja Matic in the answer, and McFred, there's questions whether they are ever going to be DMs. So it's frustrating, but I'm beginning to get on his page and just think it ain't happening.
I don't know. I think, look at some of the best defensive midfielders in the Premier League. A lot of them, or plenty of them, weren't big names when they were signed. Like Kante wasn't a big name. Fabinho did all right with Monaco.
Wasn't signed for Chelsea.
What, Fabinho?
No, Kante, he means...
Oh, yeah,
what,
Kante, when he was at Chelsea,
when
he won the league with Leicester,
he
wasn't.
Fabinho was quite well fucking...
But he'd had a decent season, or a couple of decent seasons, with Monaco,
Fabinho,
was relatively cheap.
Exactly the same sort of expectations as Bakayoko did.
Yeah, who flopped.
I mean,
Matic, another one got from Benfica.
Fernandinho as well, when they got him from Shakhtar.
It's not like a position where you have to be like world-class
already. Name one other player that United signed from Shakhtar.
Fred.
Name one other player that United signed from Shakhtar.
Henning Berg.
It's wrong.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. It's Kinchelskis.
There you go. But that's what I'm saying. It's not a position
I
where you
been
have
right
to,
off the brew on Friday if I not got that one right.
Where you have
right
to be like already known as being top class.
Yeah.
Like most of the position people in that position in the Premier League now who are regarded as the best in that position weren't well known before they came to the Premier League. Like Ndidi, another one. Like it, all the time it happens. It's not like strikers where usually you've heard of them because they've been scoring loads of goals. It can go under the radar.
As well, maybe United, with some of the players we've got who are surplus to requirements, can we not do a bit of wheel dealing? Is there not an option where you
know in it?
You know what I mean? Like,
I'll do it for free, mate. Yeah, get on the phone. Harry Redknapp style. Sapling gigs. Oh, you know, he's still selling them ladders.
Lovely Van der Beek shaped treat for you. Listen, you'll give me
someone's
that.
Someone's got to want it.
I'll set them Basuma. Ladders off you, but I need a favour.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Of course it's Tony Marshall.
Yeah.
It's a lucky dip. It's Tony Marshall, isn't it? It's a lucky dip.
Yeah, it might be. It might not
just
be.
Just whoever I put
be.
My hand on first.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm looking up and down my list. And his name starts with Anthony. Yes.
Yeah, it is Tony Marshall.
But you
actually.
Think, like, is there not? Because a lot of clubs will be in for some of our players. Because
Newcastle, we need them every morning. Good morning, Johnny.
Yeah, but they don't have anyone that we want. That's the problem.
They've just signed fucking Chris Wood, though, haven't they? So, like.
I think that's. Do you know what?
Have they?
I
think that's, today.
Oh, yesterday.
I don't think that's a bad sign for them.
I think they're just waiting for Mbappe's answer.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Chris Wood's coming in.
I think that's quite clever by them because it's taking a player off a rival, relegation rival. Let's face that, staying up is there.
Oh, it was like 20 million, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I
also, I mean, Chris Wood, he doesn't set the world light, but he gets, you know, goals and he's
about four goals. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you saying this because you put him in your fantasy Premier League team for 3 months?
Do you know what I did? I put in.
You put Chris Wood in at the start of the season.
I did. I took him out. I put Sam Maximin in, though, and he scored against us. And I forgot, and I'm glad, because I hate when people go, oh, at least he's in my fantasy team. I hate that stuff, when people score against us.
I'd ring Newcastle up, like, what are you doing today? Can I sell you Eric Bailly?
You've got to be. AC Milan
won
him.
Your defence is shit. We could give you Phil Jones and Bailly. You might get 5 games out of a pair of them, right? No guarantees. Yeah. Right? No, it's not in the receipt.
20 million. Give us 20
minutes. He won't go, though, will he? Bye to Newcastle. Go to AC Milan is one thing. Go to Newcastle.
Just tell him it's fucking
Juve.
Yeah,
got to work with Eddie Howe. Yeah, that's a good point.
You don't speak the same language as anyway,
know.
So he won't
know.
He's like, I'm trying to learn Italian and it's not going well.
Matthew Sargent, who's been a member for 14 months, said, mood around the ground on Monday was horrendous. I genuinely think we saw more smiles after the Liverpool game. Hope we're not as in the mud as we seem.
How in the mud are we?
It was. The mood was bad.
We just
Monday.
Fucking got through to the next round of the FA Cup and everyone's like, it's fucking
mud. I know. How can you feel? I felt like 1% better than I did before the game and we'd won it.
Yeah.
Like, how is that possible? How can you win, knock Gerrard out, get through to the next round and feel only fractionally better than you did before you'd won?
It was pretty
it's
bad.
Very odd it was, situation,
it was,
really,
it was
it?
Difficult as well, like, especially the grief Marcus was getting. And I understand that he was having a shocker, but it was horrible to hear it. Do you know what I mean? From a player that a person I really like. And it wasn't great. And yeah, you know, it was good to stick it to Gerrard. It felt more like a relief because as I was leaving the ground, I was thinking, imagine if we'd have just lost that game. Imagine if it, you know, we'd just been knocked out to Steven Gerrard.
It's a way horrible. On Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah. So it was a bit weird. It was a bit of a weird feeling. And also, it just. Puskas wasn't a great game of football, was it? No. It's hard to get up for it when it's just you're just watching a pretty that
bad
game.
That's a lot of games at the minute. It's just their shit. Like under Ollie, I think there's gonna be a lot of people revise what they said about Ollie because under Ollie he did actually make it fun.
He did.
You got to remember this is a fucking hobby.
Yeah.
Like we choose to go to these things and we choose to indulge our fucking pastime into these.
Yeah.
Like we're not forced to go.
No, I agree. You know? It's weird because it's almost like you're not allowed to say that or people criticize you say it, but. As a fan, post Fergie, my most enjoyable time, like you said, was when Ollie was manager.
Also,
my greatest moment was Stockholm and you know the FA Cup when that was better. But as a
week
sort
in
of,
week out watching week United, out,
yeah, we won a lot of games.
By far the
we
best.
We finished third and second. You know, we had a lot of wins.
I enjoyed Moyes because the crowd fucking turned up for once.
Oh, the atmosphere!
It was insane.
Even when we were getting beat off the Scousers 3-0, like 20 times was ringing out for 90 minutes.
I didn't see one of them goals either, so it didn't happen.
Not the game, but the atmosphere.
I missed every single one of those goals.
Why?
Jaden was second a penalty on the pitch at half time.
Really?
Yeah, so they scored it as well. But now you're in your fucking 30s, you can't do that, can you?
Could do.
See what the other lad ran on the other night when he did that. See the lad that ran on at full time as well?
No.
It took about 6 stewards to drag him off.
Yeah.
Like, he's only young. And then another lad ran on, he was about 4. And he gave them the runaround, and everyone's like cheering him.
So Gerrard scored before and after half time, didn't he? They'd come and got us out of my seat before it, and we hadn't got back to it before it, the other one. And then we had a signed Robbo and Pallister ball.
Really?
Yeah. It's upstairs, actually. And Jaden's, what was it, fucking five or something, six? He's dropped it. So I bent down to pick it up. Has the third gone in? 0-0.
Yeah, if I didn't see it didn't happen.
What's nothing's even happened?
The highlight of that game was him missing that penalty, wasn't it, Gerrard? Was that it? Other than that. I remember Raphael clattering him as well. That was good. But other than that, it was awful.
Oh, fucking miss Raphael.
I know.
Colin Wilmot says, how can we sign new players when we don't know who's the manager next season or what shape we'll be playing? Don't we need to fix the structure?
I think we do, though.
You can still do that, though. You said that, Steve, didn't you, about buying players? Because City bought De Bruyne and Sterling, not for Pellegrini.
I also think that they knew that they were getting Pep.
That's what I mean. Like, you can have players that you're targeting just as a club. It's like with Van Dijk, he was on Liverpool's radar for years. They were monitoring him. Same with Salah. And it's like not necessarily just for Jurgen Klopp, even though if Rodgers had stayed, these are the type of players they were looking at anyway. So yes, you might have to have a certain ethos.
Isn't that more worrying? Because there's one thing...
Herrera for us, we targeted Herrera well before.
Yeah, but there's one thing saying, we don't know who to get because we don't know who the next manager is. And you think, yeah, fair enough, that relies on the manager giving his input. The other thing that what we're saying is, it doesn't matter because it's... up till now, Woodward and Judge and whoever buying these players anyway. That's the more worrying, though, isn't it?
Yeah. The dark side of it is, yeah, it's fucking Ed Woodward on footy manager. Going, yeah. I've got another.
Because that's not worked, has it?
No, it hasn't.
But the reason that you appoint a director of football and a technical director, when we sadly came down this fucking route, the day we appointed Jose Mourinho, where we were going to start installing a revolving door in the manager's office, you have to then have a structure in place which facilitates that. Chelsea do. Which is why they are allowed to maintain success, despite the fact that it's a new fucking gaffer in the seat every single 18 months. But United weren't set up to be that. United was set up to be the 25-year man in the chair that's got his fingers into every single aspect of the club. And if you'd have thrown Fergie in, 1986 vintage Fergie, into the 2013 Manchester United, it would have probably failed. Because there was that much of the club grew around him that he had control over, because it came to him after, well, the team fucking looks after itself. Training looks after itself. The coaches all know what the fucking hell I want. So I can, what's that commercial? He's just like, no. And I believe that's part of what McPhelan's job was to do, was to juggle the commercial responsibilities of the players and basically deflect it or let them do it on pre-season a little bit when they're out of the fucking way and just bat everything away. So all of these responsibilities grew around him as the club got into this behemoth that it came, you know, 25 years after he came. But if you'd have just thrown him into it, he'd have been overwhelmed. So when we threw David Moyes in, and he's got that look on his face.
That look after the whole club immediately. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big task.
Whereas, I said this way before Fergie retired, we should have put in that structure. Fergie wasn't really the football manager in the modern sense of it. He was the director of football that also picked the team.
Yeah.
Like, he was just this whole different thing. And Arsene Wenger was a very similar style of thing. And football... it worked for them lads because they'd been there so long and like picking up a little bit of a new thing when they've been there 20 years isn't that hard. And it's just a little bit of extra work on the pile, or they can get an extra member of staff to deal with that because they've got all of these pots on the simmer anyway. But you throw someone else in and he's got to learn fucking all of this. Fergie was probably doing 5 or 6 people's jobs by the end. He was probably the academy director. Because he was the one that was making the decision on which ones he comes up. Because the fucking crazy arsehole was there in his little golf cart going checking in on the under-12s and stuff like that. Which football manager is even thinking about doing that? Because they're not. They're trying to keep hold of their fucking job.
Which football manager is going, who's that tea lady over there? I don't know her name. Find it out for me.
I'll go and have a brew with her and find
out. I need to go and speak to her. So that's how hands-on he was. And it's you're not going to get that anymore. United have been chasing the unicorn.
We have to change our processes as a football club. And it took us nearly a decade from Fergie leaving to go, actually, that director of football that the rest of the world's got might not be the fucking worst idea we've ever had. But then you have to... I don't know if Murta's the man.
Okay.
Some people really rate what he does. Some people I know don't like him and don't think he's up to it. And I bet Nicky Butt don't like him. I mean, you've got to look at what he does over 4 or 5 years.
Give him a chance. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I've heard negative things about him, to be honest with you. But give him a chance.
Same with Darren Fletcher. We don't know. I've seen a lot of people kicking off that he's on the sideline. But if Ralph's asked him to be, then Ralph's asked him to be.
I don't get. I don't understand that. So it just made him.
Yeah, people are like, why are you annoyed? You don't know what he's doing there. Yeah, how can you be annoyed? Like
also,
he's doing something
it's
wrong.
It's Darren Fletcher.
Yeah,
it's not Darren Gibson. Like, yeah. what are you moaning about?
Yeah, he sat on that bench. It's for,
the same people who complained that Ollie just played on his iPad during the games and wasn't going out of the touchline. Now you complain. Ralph's 62. He played football in Germany in the fucking 70s and 80s. He's going to have bad knees, guaranteed. Yeah. He ain't getting up and down them little steps. Like, Fletch, go fucking tell him to fuck off. Like,
it's like you can, when things are going bad, you can look at every single thing that is happening.
Why is it feeling
laughing? It's a bad thing because it's amounting to a negative overall outcome. Yeah. Therefore, every individual thing must be shit. When that's not true at all, is it?
It's even like the Kieran McKenna stuff.
Yeah, weren't we meant to be brilliant? Carrick and McKenna have gone now. Why aren't we ace? Yeah. They were the problem, remember?
McKenna was his big win.
Solskjaer was the problem.
And everyone's like, oh, actually.
Isn't he flying at Ipswich?
Yeah, well, two games, two wins.
Yeah, like, you know.
Callum licking his lips behind the camera.
Callum, how many wins is it?
4-0 against Gillingham.
4-0
against Gillingham.
Beat Gillingham 4-0. Cruising.
Do that.
But yeah, like,
when was the last time United beat Gillingham 4-0?
Exactly.
Been a while.
Pathetic.
But yeah, it's just like you can point to anything and say it's a problem if the overall outcome is bad. Yeah. But that's just, you know, not how it works, is it?
No.
Do you think, so having some kind of through line that Rangnick goes upstairs after this, that changes the January transfer window? Because he's one of those people who's going to be looking at how we develop and how we recruit.
It makes bringing a signing in feel more likely and more sensible rather than it's a pure interim appointment, like a Carrick. Like if Carrick had run us through January, are you letting him sign someone?
Yeah.
That's mayhem.
Yeah.
But if Ralph's going to be here 2.5 years... And it's a 2.5 year contract. That's not to say that doesn't get extended. If he does a good job in 2 years, they're not going to be like, well, anyway, we said 2 years, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, are they? They're just going to extend him.
Yeah.
Fergie was on a 12-month rolling contract. It was never an issue until he decided, he was like, that's me, I'm out.
And then it has been a bit of an issue since.
It's a little bit of an issue
since. One could argue that point.
Yeah. I wish he was on a 50-year contract. Like the Guinness
factory. I honestly think we're like one bad season away from him coming out.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I can see it. Do you know how like Ric Flair to do WrestleMania every few years?
We'll fucking kill him.
I know, and I don't want that to happen, obviously.
Yeah, proper WrestleMania Ric Flair vibes if we get Fergie back in.
It's like, it is getting towards that if we don't sort this mess out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we can't be doing that. People saying it's not normal for the technical director to be sat on the bench. It's a symptom of the mess we're
normal?
In. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, with the coaching side of thing, I always think unless you're in that dressing room, unless you know, a part of the club and the structure and know what is going on because you see it firsthand, then you're just guessing.
I have a head of technical development. He's on my sideline.
Yeah?
He's doing a good job?
Yeah, so obviously I'm fucking winging it, coaching, in a big way.
All right.
I think I know a little bit about tactics and shape and this, that and the other, but the real technical details, you know, how to fucking, like, do the elite shit that a pro would know.
Yeah.
Well, I have a guy for that.
All right.
You got to bring in fucking good people, aren't you?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, someone that'd be like, actually, this is the way you defend that. Or actually, this is the way you fucking do that.
There was an element of that, weren't there, with Fergie? Like, with Queiroz was a bit more sort of detailed on certain things. And Fergie was quite good at going, right, we'll get someone else in who deals with that.
So,
and I'll just deal with this.
This is what Rennie Mullenstein did, essentially.
Yeah. Right, and that's one of Fergie's best traits. You know, when you talk about Fergie moving with the times, like you said there, Steve, about, you know, the 86, Fergie's different, obviously, with the 2013. What Fergie always was able to do was move with the times by bringing in the right people as well. Yeah. So when he saw that football was changing, he'll get someone like, you say, Rennie Mullenstein, who was part of that modern era of football, or get a Carlos Queiroz, who's part of that forensic detail that helps us win the Champions League. He's very good at that, and it's a sort of underrated trait that he has. And like you were saying earlier, that's the problem we've got at United now, is we don't seem to have, not only have we not got the man at the top who's part of that, but the coaching thing seems...
That's the thing, is
erratic.
Like when you look at modern managers, they're very much head coaches and not managers.
Yeah.
Football went through these mad stages of evolution, and the term manager doesn't really fit for a lot. You know, Matt Busby was a manager in the Fergie mold.
Yeah.
Because we know it was Jimmy Murphy that was putting the cones out and putting the lads through training. You know, Fergie was the manager.
Yeah.
But it was Archie Knox, it was Brian Kidd, it was Steve McLaren, it was Carlos Queiroz, it was Mike Phelan that were taking training and doing these sorts of things. When you look at your Guardiola's, I don't know who Guardiola's assistant is.
Excuse me.
Do you
know what I mean?
Yeah, he's not famous.
Who's Tuchel's assistant?
Yeah.
Not a fucking clue. But those are the guys, they seem to be the guys now that are in the mixer on the training ground.
Yeah.
I found that really interesting.
No, it is, yeah.
It's changed a little bit, and that might be because a lot of what a manager did is now taken by a director of football. You know, and the directors of football appoint managers, basically a head coach, to pick the team that they're assembling.
But then my worry with this is we're sort of, you're kind of fragmenting of splintering the role of what was kind of Woodward doing a lot of it and George, and then you sort of adding more pieces underneath that to delegate the power. At some point, if we're hiring the wrong people, I know obviously we haven't had time to see if Murta's wrong or whatever, but you've got like...
George, make a decision now and stick with it.
Don't let that cloud you.
If we fuck this up, then you've got seven people who are shit, who are doing everything. At least with Woodward, you could just get rid of him. Like, we could easily have, like, more people who are bad, who are fucking things up, that take even longer to replace, who are on even bigger... Like, it's not necessarily guaranteed to be better. If you get the wrong people in, no matter how well the structure is in terms of job, you report to him, you report to him, you report to him. If you're hiring the wrong people, all of it's worth fuck all, isn't it?
Do you know what I've learned?
And we keep hiring the wrong people.
Yeah, we do.
Do you know what I've learned?
Go on.
The more I've learned about football, the more I've peeked behind the curtain, the more I realise everyone's winging it.
Mm.
No, there's an illusion of competency everywhere. Like, look at Barcelona. They're supposedly the guiding light. They had fucking UNICEF as their first ever sponsor. We're not doing fucking sponsorships.
Yeah.
Now they got Rakuten on there, right? They're run by their members. They're fan owned. They're everything guiding light. And then they fucked it up to the tune of $1 billion in debt.
Yeah.
Chasing the fucking dragon and paying crazy wages and paying 130 million for Dembele and that. Right?
They love it, don't they?
Yeah.
Greece, so Dembele, you've got Coutinho.
You've got this, you know, mad delusion. And Barcelona's a fucked up one because it's so political in terms of, like, every president has to come in, and it's one thing trying to run a club. Now imagine Woodward was elected, right?
Mm.
Obviously, he would have been fucking launched at the first opportunity, which would have been a good thing. But the next guy that comes in, he can't just come in and get to work on running the club. There's the whole political game that you have to play.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you put the PR spin out that Woodward was terrible and you're the saviour. And you also have to start thinking, who the fuck's going to run against me? I need to start putting things out there that they're a load of dicks and all. And then
also made these promises.
Yeah,
like, if you sign me, if you get me in, I'm going to bring Cristiano Ronaldo with me, or I'm going to bring Messi with me.
And you do
me.
Things that
something
to
that's,
sort of,
you know, a big statement.
You do stuff to make the fans vote for you rather than stuff that you can ever.
You're not going
to
come in and go,
do.
If you vote me in, we're going to be a well-run club.
Yeah.
And there's going to be no dramas. And we won't have any debts. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all right, mate. If you go, I've got some shiny new players that you can have, we'll vote for him.
Yeah.
The greatest football mind.
Shine lasers on players at Liverpool matches and stuff.
The 20th century was Johan Cruyff, right? Johan Cruyff built Barcelona because he wasn't allowed to build Ajax in his own image. He actually put in a lot of the ex-players behind the scenes, your Van der Sar and Overmars and all that. He started the process of bringing them in, and I think Rijkaard and one of the De Boers, I think, might have been in the mixer as well. He started that at Ajax, but he was able to put his spin on Barcelona to a greater degree, and they fucking sacked him after him losing the Champions League final, of all things. Yeah, fucking get rid of him. Because he was too much hard work, because he was very principled in what he was trying
was
to do.
Was that the 94 final? Was it?
Yeah, against AC Milan. Yeah, he got twatted.
Yeah, because and also, like, this was the three foreigner rule. AC Milan didn't even fill their quota. They had two foreigners. Barcelona obviously were hampered by it. Like, United, don't get me started, or don't get him started, as we'll be here all day. And yeah, like you say, after all he did, after winning the European Cup in 92 as well, 2 years later, it's like Rijkaard, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, in 92, wins it in 2006, by 2008 he's sacked.
They played Koeman and Guardiola at centre-half. And I think they played AC Milan in pre-season and got battered. And I can't remember which player it was. Boban. Boban. Boban went, if we get Barcelona in the final, we're going to fucking smash them. Right? And the reason for that is that AC Milan team had a lot of pace around
And
okay, Cruyff wanted to... And Cruyff did develop this current Barcelona style play. That is a Cruyff style of play. But Koeman and Guardiola, two fucking brilliant ball-playing centre-halves, I'm beating them in a foot race, the pair of them, though. They were both slow at
Koeman
piss.
Koeman never had much pace, did he? Just read the game like...
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, and so did Guardiola. Guardiola as a player is going to be really underrated because of what he's gone and achieved as a manager. But as a player, he's a fucking real good footballer. But yeah, they just got fucking bullied. Just that particular team did not match up. It's like that current City team. If you're getting behind them, like, hit them on the counter, they're fucking just destroyed.
Yeah.
And that Barcelona team of Cruyff's exactly the same. But, you know, Cruyff, took Barcelona out of nothing, won them that European Cup, their first European Cup, takes them to a final again 2 years later. This is at a time when you had to be the champions to get in it as well. No fannying about. And then they're like, no, fuck him off. I can't even remember which idiot they brought in after him. Oh, sorry, I do apologise. Wasn't an idiot. It was Bobby Robson.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got a super chat from RDMan07. No improvement from Rangnick. Ollie wasn't the problem. Ralph's not the solution. Until the board totally changes, it's not going to get better, no matter the manager. That's kind of the point we're talking there, isn't it? About it's above the manager.
But I mean, it's weird with Radnick as well.
But then you just can't have any optimism.
You've got this 6 months or whatever it is to contract, and yet people, you can't have like long term because we need instant reaction now.
Joe, just start fucking drinking.
And it's
yesterday. SK says, lads, for 6 million, you can't go wrong. Perfect January signing. We need at least two or three midfield. Zachariah can be sold for 20 to 25 if it doesn't work out. He's decent. Yeah, I think that. I think he's got selling value. He's in his mid-20s. If we were to get him for under 10 million, that is less than his worth, or less than his value if he's got contracts still remaining.
Yeah, I worry like he comes in and he's shocking.
Huizinga says, what did Cruyff do in the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final?
Smoked. Wore a fucking rain mask.
Smoked his chimney.
And lost.
Yeah. And watched Mark Hughes scoring one of the greatest goals in the history of association football.
Someone had 100% pass completion that night. Let me know in the comments.
Stephen knows very well.
Rio Ferdinand.
Yes, you got him one.
Apparently that rain mask's in a museum at Barcelona.
Is it really?
Sick. More than one that Cruyff wore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it?
How many 100% pass completion? How many passes was it?
13.
Brilliant. Who is it?
Mike Phelan.
Hey, brilliant. How many people can say that 100% pass completion in a final against Barcelona?
How many passes, Mike? Don't fucking worry about it. We won a final. Yeah, happy fucking days.
Plenty of passes. Plenty of passes. Enough passes for us to win the fucking match. That's
you have an argument with anyone, you're Mike Phelan. You go, hang on a minute. Did you ever play against Barcelona and have 100% pass completion?
What was your pass completion? Yeah,
when you played in the final against Barcelona. Oh, you haven't. Well, shut up then.
Speaking of shut up then.
Go on.
Do you have a Wally of the Week, Jay?
You know me, Joe. I don't like to be political.
You say this every week.
Not the Prime Minister, is it? Lying ass fucking sheepdog looking fuck.
This is apology today.
No.
The apology I didn't know it was...
Sorry, it's in Dr. Evil.
Is it like Mel Gibson's?
Yeah.
It was. I didn't know it was a party. I'm sorry, but I didn't know it was a party.
Sorry for going to what I thought was a work do.
Yeah, I thought it was a work do.
Even a work do wasn't allowed, was it?
It was a work event.
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was a party. But if I did and I went, I'm apologising, but I didn't.
I didn't. Yeah. So
if anything, you're the fucking idiot. I love the bit where he went out and he went, I went out there to thank people for their good work. And you know what? I went back in 25 minutes later. Looking back, I would probably have thought of a different way to thank them. Like, all he was doing was just being so nice. I went out and said thank you, but actually, you lot are right. I shouldn't have said thank you to the people that were trying so hard.
That's a load of bollocks as well, because there's a photograph of him sitting there.
Yes, he was saying thank you out to the, you know, massive.
Why did it take you 25 minutes to realise, like, well, I better go
in? Listen, I had a party in lockdown, but I don't run the fucking country, so don't hold me to the same standards as a Tory and fucking tit bank.
So yeah. Who are you saying then?
I know it's not very original, I'll go with Boris Johnson.
Who are you saying?
Whoever sanctioned that fucking clock.
Oh, what Big Ben, yeah, you're not into
this. Tell us this then. What's this?
Country's on its ass. How much do we spend on that fucking app no cunt uses?
About 34 billion, wasn't it?
Wowzers. Yeah. Wowzers. Right? So we fucking blew that on whoever Boris's mates are. Yep. Cronyism.
Cronyism.
Corruption. Corruption.
Go on, right? Steve.
And then fucking, I found out today, Joe, it was just before you lot come downstairs, so still fuming about it when you came downstairs. Yep. Big Ben's been sorted out. I just saw they removed a bit of the scaffolding from the top. It's fucking gold, for starters. Country's on its arse.
Oh, can I have an
We're cutting fucking services for disabled people. We're cutting services for fucking old people. Mm-hmm. We're cutting nurses. If you only get a fucking hour to push if you're having labour because the fucking departments of maternity are fucking creaking under this Tory government, and you silly cunt spent 14 billion on a gold fucking clock. It's like a Charles Dickens novel, you silly cunts. What are we doing? Honestly.
Can I have an honourable mention as well for Prince Andrew?
Fuck me.
Well, what's Prince Andrew been up to?
He's got to go to trial now.
Oh, he's asked me to go for a finger at pizza? No, man.
why is he going to go to trial now? Go on, then.
He's fucking lying about being a nonce.
And apparently, the defence of that agreement you signed with that nonce that covers me too isn't a good one, according to the judge. And the judge is like, tell you what, you go to court.
But what about that thing where...
Bastard.
No NDAs were being announced.
What about that thing where he went to New York to say, I need to stop... When he flew across the world to say to a bloke who he was never really mates with, I can't be mates with you anymore, and stayed at his house. Yeah. We've all done that.
It's a very convenient place to stay, Joe.
Yeah,
that's like me. I used to ring the dealer to tell him I didn't want drugs anymore.
Let me get in the car.
Stay at his house just to make sure he knew I didn't want any drugs. Makes total sense to me, Jay.
I liked it when he went, Prince Andrew's defence are willing to admit that they can't protect, that they can't say he can't sweat in court. That is something that they will not try and defend.
What, it's like, Joe, he was reading his statement out. They're like this, aren't they?
Yeah. Why would you say in an interview something that is probably wrong?
Who the fuck sanctioned that interview, by the way? No, because here's the
thing. What would you say? I'm sweating. Nah, that's the thing, because I couldn't sweat at that time.
Yeah.
After the result of the things I've been doing.
Pizza Express thing. I was at Pizza Express in Woking, and then people come out and said, no, it wasn't.
It was.
And like, you'd remember if one of the, you know, the heirs to the throne.
Yeah,
rocked
the Queen's
up
kid.
Yeah.
Saw David A once in Nando's in Trafford Centre.
Yeah.
I saw Richard Dillat in Clinton's in the Trafford Centre as well. I got him to sign my mum and dad's anniversary card. And I remember that now and again.
I got Fat Man Scoop to sign a dollar bill in 2003. And I still remember it. I saw Fat Man Scoop in a shopping centre in Florida, and I remember it. You don't think you'd remember Prince Andrew getting a little pizza with a salad in the middle that's low calorie?
What's he on there? Oh, he's on the garlic dough balls. That's royalty, that is.
Exactly.
Royalty. And he's gone with a bruschetta
this
as
is what
well.
I mean. You remember all these, like, meetings or chance encounters with minor celebrities, yet Prince Andrew in a Pizza Express, you don't remember that.
Interesting this, because if it comes out that he's a full-on turbo nonce, which is what it seems like could be.
Yeah.
And did you see how I said could there?
No, it's he not, did. Well, I'm proud of you. Very proud of you.
You're towing the lines,
if it comes out that he's an absolute fucking first-round Hall of Fame turbo nonce, right, which it looks like it could be.
Is that a real... That's not a ceremony, is it?
I don't think so.
No.
We never know.
Hall of Fame.
Or in today's inductory. Yeah. Welcome to the state. Oh, no, he's killed himself.
Imagine
in
you
prison.
Just miss out if you go in.
I wonder, right? It's not like the royal family to arrange killings, I wouldn't have thought. I
see,
wonder
now we're crossing lines that we don't want to.
I threw doubt into words. It. I threw doubt into it. Allegedly.
Just missed out.
Right?
Just missed out.
I
on
wonder
the turbo
if he.
Hall of Fame.
Has a fucking terrible speedboat accident. Just you can't defame the royal family to that.
Like, what's he called, Maxwell?
What?
Robert Maxwell.
I think you'll just see another hate campaign against Meghan Markle now from the press.
Yeah, I think that's what we need.
Meghan Markle's wore a dress that was made in Ghana.
And do you know what, Jay? It's disgusting.
Burner at the stake. Hey.
Yeah. Awful.
Do you know what I mean?
Look, she opened her own door.
Yeah, out there.
What the fuck sort of shit
scum.
Is this?
Subhuman scum. Yeah. Are you sure? Wally of the week, anyway.
Oh, we've had some great options, haven't we?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe just Steven Gerrard for trying to act like he wasn't bothered when the United fans were being a bit harsh to him. Oh, it's nothing I've never Scouse heard before. It's very impressive. It was
there.
Fine.
What's this thing? Well, fucking what is this thing that you see on Twitter? Cold as fuck.
Yeah.
Like cold, what people just...
Yeah, because he walked down the touchline and looked back.
Yeah.
Oh, you're odd.
Someone tried saying it with Brandon.
You want to talk about cold as fuck? I sent Jay and Joe a quote off one of my ex-colleagues the other day. How was that for a cold quote?
That was cold.
Yeah. Sure.
Kill more people than shit.
And you know what I love about that?
Combined.
What I love about that is I said that the people he commented on were all from the same area, and you went...
I think she's from around
here. What is wrong with that place?
what is wrong with that area? Because that was a quote that was in, that was a public quote, wasn't it?
It was a public quote. Yeah, so you can.
Yeah, go
on. What's her fucking pseudonym? She didn't go by her real name.
Well, that's probably for the best.
Yeah. So there was an Apache pilot in Afghanistan. First female British soldier on the front line, I believe. Mm. And there's a quote from her, which is fucking brutal, but it's, you know, it's, one, it's true, and two, it's fucking awesome. It's like, do you want to pull it up, actually? It'll be in our chat, won't it?
Yeah.
But it's something along the lines of, in fact, we'll just wait 3 seconds and we'll get it up.
3 seconds.
Go on
the,
go
image,
the
it?
Images, yeah. Yeah.
We'll get it up.
There we go.
There you go.
And she said, I've killed more people than Harold Shipman, Jack the Ripper, and Myra Hindley put together.
I said to
that's
you,
that's cold.
Man. Two of those people come from your area. And what was your response?
Yeah, I think she's from around here somewhere.
What is in the water? Oh my God.
Right. Thank you very much to Surfshark for sponsoring today's podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with transfers live tomorrow night, won't we, Jay?
Yeah, big me stuff. And Lee.
Big things coming tomorrow
big
night.
Big things, even though, you know, we've just sat here for about 45 minutes and said probably not signing.
No, I think we are going to sign. You said you didn't think we would. I think we will.
I think we will. By tomorrow, we'll definitely be signing someone. Yeah. Me and Joe will talk about
transfers. We'll be talking about
live.
Tomorrow night. We'll
and then me and the boy Wonder here will be here for the Brew on Friday.
All sorts.
We've got Freddie on with us, haven't we?
Right. God knows what I was thinking when I arranged this. But I'm going to put you and Freddie,
like Prince Andrew in that interview,
on a live together.
I'm sure he'll,
on the brew
I'm
as
sure
well,
have,
which is, you know,
I'm sure he'll
no
have really beige opinions about Prince Andrew.
Yeah. That's so going to be really fun.
That is probably going to be the last video ever on this channel, so make sure you tune into that one.
Yeah, thank you very much.
What text that is.
For joining us. I mean, Steve does this all the time, saying stuff that people at home can't see. Thank you very much. We'll see you in a bit. Podcast Network.